I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I would like to present this to the committee. This is showing Hunter Biden paying for a victim's United flight from L.A. to Dulles. This was a, I believe this is a violation of the Mann Act. This is Hunter Biden's, this is his proof that he bought the ticket. He bought it for this woman right here. He flew her from Los Angeles to Washington on June 14th, flew her back to Los Angeles, California on June 15th of 2018. And I would like to point out that if he was purchasing her a plane ticket for sex and traveling across state lines,
that would be a violation of the Mann Act, a federal prosecution. You are listening to Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, and the left hates her. And they certainly hated what she did yesterday during the whistleblowers from the IRS testifying as to what they were looking into and how they were denied access to the Biden family information. She basically stole the show. We're going to break it all down for you. Thank you for joining us again. We are July 20, 2023. And, of course, we are, during the noon hour every day, doing a two-hour live Rumble. You can go live stream on Rumble, or you go Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook, News Talk STL Twitter. We're on all those platforms. You can get us in so many different ways. Live during the noon hour, or you can pull it up and listen and watch later. And all the audio is also posted at LarryConnorsUSA.com. And, of course, the 6 o'clock hour, really enjoy doing this for you because this gets you a chance to hear it while you're headed home or you let other friends and family know about it, and they can do the same. So Marjorie Taylor Greene was in the midst of bringing out some of these issues involving Hunter Biden, which are part of the IRS investigation. Make no mistake about it. Because if you're using money and you're to fly women across state lines, violation of the Mann Act, not just fly, but transport them for sexual purposes, then you should be reporting it, but you're not going to report it because it's a violation. So Hunter Biden was listing it through his company as a business expense. The Mann Act is very clear. You cannot transport anyone across state lines, generally thought to be women, but it applies to anyone. St. Louis legend, rock and roll legend, Chuck Berry, was convicted of doing the same with a 14-year-old. But we're talking about right now Hunter Biden and the fact that everything that involves a Biden family is off limits to the IRS. And that's been the whole issue with these whistleblowers yesterday as they were testifying. But before we break down a little bit of that testimony in more detail, I want to go back to Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene because as she's talking, she's holding up photographs. And in fact, apparently a couple of the photographs, even for the cameras in the room, were a little too explicit, so they had to blur what you were seeing, not just to protect the women's faces, but the activity taking place.
As the law states, by the code of the law, it states traveling, paying someone to go across state lines is prostitution. It's a violation of the Mann Act. Let me just move on just one more second here. So when Hunter Biden paid for this woman to do this with him, to travel across state lines from California to Washington, D.C., on June 15th, this is a violation of the Mann Act. This was prostitution.
It was prostitution. And she was holding up that photograph saying, brought a woman across state lines and paid her to do this with him. It was graphic to the extent that Democrats, oh my God, oh no, we can't see this. That should not be shown here. This should not be shown. Why? Because it's Hunter Biden? If they had Donald Trump in that photo or Donald Trump Jr., would you hear the Democrats hollering out, don't show that? Hell no. It would be wall to wall, enlarged photographs all around the Congressional Committee Room. Now, among those testifying, of course, the testimony was not necessarily a bombshell and shocking because we'd already been given preludes of what was going to happen. We'd heard some testimony previously from IRS whistleblower Gary Shapley and how he was denied access numerous times to the Biden family in carrying out the investigation. And then Agent X came forward, identified as Joseph Ziegler, 13 years with the IRS, also identifying as a gay and a Democrat. I think he even said he did not even vote in the last election, but he did feel that this information and his job and what was taking place had to be made public, so he became a whistleblower. He actually had done an interview then in addition to the testimony, did an interview with CBS. I just want to pick up just that question and his answer to a very simple question.
Why did you want to interview Hunter Biden's adult children?
So a lot of the business deductions expenses related to the adult children.
Did you get the approvals?
So we never received the approvals to talk to those people.
What did the assistant U.S. attorney tell you?
That's going to get us into hot water.
Is that in the IRS handbook, avoiding hot water?
No, but I mean, I was asking to do these certain things, and roadblock after roadblock was put up in front of me.
Yeah, hot water. Don't go into hot water. And it's not in the handbook. They're entitled, authorized, in fact, obligated to follow every lead when they're looking into IRS violations. But not with the Biden family. You take all the testimony he gave in Congress yesterday, and along with Agent Shapley, it still comes down to that very point right there. Don't go near the Bidens. Agent Ziegler again saying a lot of the business deductions and expenses related to the adult children. Now, he's not trying to talk to young kids, adults, because they're listed on some of these expenditures for various business items. We're not exactly sure what because it wasn't made public, but he had enough evidence to say, I need to ask them some questions, and he was denied that opportunity. That alone should tell you that things were being covered up. Now, Congresswoman Green at one of the other items she was holding up, she said there's evidence in a SARS report, the suspicious activity reports, how Hunter Biden was using monies from his firm to fly women across state lines for sexual purposes and yet claiming it as an expense. She had a question for Agent Ziegler along that line.
This is an excerpt from a SARS report that we've read in the Treasury, and I think you all have looked at these too, showing that victim one was supposedly an employee of Owasco. But I would like to point out, this is not really what most paralegals do for law firms. And it's very serious that Hunter Biden was paying this woman through his law firm and then writing it off as business tax exemptions. Most people write off, write off things for their taxes through their businesses, like a meal or, say, office supplies. But can you confirm for me that Hunter Biden had written off payments to prostitutes through his law firm, Owasco?
I appreciate the question given by the statute. I'm limited in my testimony today, and I respectfully would need to turn those records over to the House Ways and Means Committee.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ziegler. One last question. You referred to one of the assistants as West Coast Assistant. I believe this is the West Coast Assistant. Could you agree with that?
So I can tell you that there were deductions for what we believe to be escorts, and then that $10,000 golf club membership. Yes, that was not a golf club membership. That was for a sex club payment.
Huh. Thank you, Agent X. Clarifying, we know where the money went, but we were not allowed to pursue and go after Hunter Biden on those items. Now, there's another House investigation looking at not just the Hunter Biden crime family, but the role leftists have been playing in our government. And, of course, this also goes all the way back to Hillary, and you could also say into the Obama administration, because he was aware of some of these things going on, how the leftists in government have been protecting, in particular now, the Biden family. One of those witnesses appearing yesterday, Emma Jo Morris.
I'm here today because I published a series of news stories 3 years ago in October of 2020 about Hunter Biden's now infamous laptop, also known as the laptop from hell, which is seen as some of the most scandalous reporting of the last decade. What was more scandalous than the reporting itself, though, was the fact that it exposed the unholy alliance between the intelligence community, social media platforms, and legacy media outlets. At the time, I was deputy politics editor at the New York Post, and my reporting showed that despite then-candidates Joe Biden's repeated and furious denials, he was apparently involved in the foreign business deals of his family.
And yet Joe Biden has said repeatedly, no, it wasn't. Emma J. Morris with the New York Post, along Miranda Devine, were responsible for getting that laptop from hell out and into the public. Emma J. Morris now is a political editor at Breitbart News. Now, again, Breitbart News, I'm sure most of you would know, is a right-wing publication. That doesn't mean that the information is incorrect. I just want to make sure you have a clear understanding of the source and what she's doing. And for those who were claiming that it was all Russian disinformation, you got to enjoy this part of her testimony.
Over several days, just weeks before Americans would vote for their next president, I revealed verified, authentic emails from the Biden Scion's hard drive showing Ukrainian business partners receiving leaks from the Obama White House. I documented an off-the-books meeting between then-Vice President Biden and a Ukrainian energy executive and introduced the world to the big guy who got action on a deal with CEFC, China Energy Company. The Post published exactly how the material for the reporting was obtained, even identifying our sources, as well as a federal subpoena showing the FBI was in possession of the material the story was based on and had been since December of 2019. But when the stories appeared on social media that morning, the venue where millions of Americans go to find their news and editors to get their angles, within hours, the reporting was censored on all major platforms on the basis of being called hacked or Russian disinformation.
Let's stop it right there for just a moment. It was a claim it was hacked and Russian disinformation. Now listen to this.
However, the stories were not based on hacked materials, nor were they Russian disinformation. And despite those claims appearing to come out of thin air at the time, we would eventually learn that they actually didn't come out of thin air at all. On October 19th, 5 days after the Post began publishing, Politico ran a story headlined, Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinfo, dozens of former intel officials say. God, I can't even say that with a straight face, you know? Politico printed a letter completely uncritically from veteran members of the U.S. intelligence community falsely claiming that the Post expose has, quote, all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. My God. Most notable among the signatories of that letter were Jim Clapper from former DNI, Michael Hayden, former CIA, John Brennan, former CIA, despite having such damaged credibility following their participation in the Russia collusion conspiracy theory. A few days later, on October 22nd, when Biden appeared in the second presidential debate and was confronted with the facts of the Post reporting, he said to Trump, quote, 50 former national intelligence professionals said this, what he's accusing me of is a Russian plot. But it was not. And he knew that.
And he knew that. Biden pulled that paper out of his pocket. He had it ready. The names of everybody had signed it. Said these intel officers say it's a Russian plot. And they got asked to, would you sign off and say it was that the laptop is a Russian plot? They never saw the laptop, never saw the information. But they were asked to do it. And of course, if it's going to destroy Donald Trump, by all means, I'll sign it. I don't need to see no stinking facts. I don't need to see nothing that might say it's not such a Russian plot and it wasn't hacked. I'll just take the fact that if Donald Trump is a target, let's go get him. Now, again, Emma Jo Morris, who's at the New York Post helping break that story at the time, now her Breitbart, is testifying before the Select Committee Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government.
It is also now known that ahead of my reporting, federal agencies were priming social media companies to execute an operation to discredit it. According to internal documents released by Elon Musk upon his acquisition of Twitter, the FBI and other intelligence community members essentially directed the platform's censorship operation, in part externally by working with top management and in part internally by social media companies hiring eye-popping numbers of agency alumni. Journalist Michael Schallenberger reported, based on documents he obtained from Musk, that during all of 2020, the FBI and other law enforcement agencies repeatedly primed Twitter executives to dismiss reports of Hunter Biden's laptop as a Russian hack and leak operation. Feds arranged for top secret security clearances to be granted to Twitter management and even had encrypted messaging networks set up, which they dubbed a virtual war room. To this day, hundreds of people from the intelligence community work at social media companies. Over the last few years, my reporting has been confirmed by virtually every mainstream news outlet, from the Washington Post to the New York Times to Politico, when the stakes were nothing, by the way, 2 years later. No one denies that the laptop is real, that the origin story is exactly what I told you it was in the first place. This elaborate censorship conspiracy wasn't because the information being reported on was false. It was because it was true, and it was a threat to the power centers in this country.
Point made. Point made. Emma Jo Morris testifying today before the Select Committee on Weaponization of the Federal Government. And Senator Grassley has just released an FBI document revealing new allegations against then-Vice President Biden, including his son. This might well involve more details of the 1023 the FBI had made public, but did a lot of redactions compared to what Grassley was allowed to see it to begin with. We got a lot to cover still before we wrap up today. For one thing, the White House is beginning to crack down on which reporters are going to allow to attend news conferences. Wonder why. And then also, some say now it's easier to get an illegal child into your home than it is to adopt a cat. That's frightening. Also, Donald Trump Jr. Weighing in. What if I had been near the White House when that cocaine got found? You don't want to miss the rest of this hour. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, they're starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring you up. Billy picks the tune out, and he throws it on the hum. Down on the corner, out in the street.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the White House has different policies that change depending upon the administration. Currently, we have a limit of access to press briefings. But before you start jumping in and saying, oh, it's all Biden, it has happened before, including Trump. But it still deserves a closer inspection of what is going on and why. And one of the latest to be losing his full credentials, hard pass as they call it, Fred Lucas, chief news correspondent, manager of the Investigative Reporting Project for the Daily Signal. Fred is also the author of The Myth of Voter Suppression, The Left's Assault on Clean Elections. Fred, glad to have you on board with us, sir.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
So let's get in to help everyone understand that when they say you're losing your hard pass, what does that mean?
The hard pass is basically it's what allows you to go into the White House on a daily basis for coverage of events there, without having to prearrange on a daily basis for event by event basis to get into the White House.
In other words, it's always there around your neck or attached to your lapel, yeah, whatever, and everybody sees you have full permission to come and go. You don't have to reapply each day. All right. I just wanted to make sure that the public got now what has happened.
Yeah, you go in and you have to be scanned, of course.
Right. Yeah, you have to go through everything else. Now, you've had one since 2009, but now suddenly things are changing.
Since the beginning of Obama.
But now suddenly things are changing. Why?
Yes, right. They're changing. We don't know the official reason why. The Biden administration just sent out a sort of cute dear colleagues letter to all the reporters saying that they're changing the policy effective as we speak. I still have my pass. It effectively expires on July 31st, and the problem there is that the new rules they instituted several that disqualified various organizations, but particularly one with that affects the Daily Signal is that they're requiring that you also have fully credentialed to cover either Capitol Hill or the Supreme Court.
You yourself have to cover both the White House or your organization.
The news organization the news organization or the reporter.
But your organization, Daily Signal, covers all three of them.
We report on them, one of the issues with is the Congress. They have a committee that effectively limits it to for-profit news outlets, and the Daily Signal is part of the Heritage Foundation. So we're not a for-profit news outlet in that sense. So I think it's pretty clear the White House knew what they were doing and knew who they were targeting in some cases here. They won't say how many are affected. I personally know a handful, but I wouldn't want to say until I have a fuller picture. And they won't say why they instituted it. Now, most speculation is, including from Simon himself with an African news organization, is that he got in an argument with Karine Jean-Pierre during a press briefing. And so now that they've decided to do this purge.
Yeah, Simon Atiba, again, representing Today News Africa. Apparently last week, the White House press office, they didn't send him a dear colleague letter. They sent him a warning. You risk expulsion if you continue to interrupt briefings in violation of our new rules. I cannot begin to count how many times Jim Acosta would interrupt Trump and shout and blare questions at him.
Well, yeah, and as you remember, there was a brief time when he was about to lose his hard pass during the Trump administration. There was a lawsuit over that with a Trump-appointed judge, so that the White House could not pick one news organization out selectively, or one specific reporter out like that selectively. I think what is sort of more insidious about what the Biden administration is doing here is that you could disagree with what the Trump administration did with Jim Acosta, and I actually did. I was as a more of a matter of principle, I was on the side of Jim Acosta because I don't think a White House should be able to decide what reporters are covering it, even if those reporters might be annoying.
They might say there'd just be too many. We can't accommodate that many. Now that's another quote, legitimate reason.
They should say it if that's the reason. Secondly, though, that's not the reason at all, because I can tell you right off that during the Trump years, that place was packed. Everybody wanted to be in on the Trump show and cover it. It is not packed right now. There's plenty of room, plenty of elbow room during the Biden years that was not there during the Trump years. I can tell you that just from being in the press room and that whole press space. But the most important thing out of this is that Trump White House offered a reason as to why they were trying to take the hard pass from Jim Acosta. They haven't given any kind of reason here. And if they think it is a decorum issue because of Simon, they should say so. If they think it's a space issue, they should say so. They haven't said so. They've changed the rule.
What was the reason for Acosta?
What
was the reason for Acosta?
Acosta, that was because they thought he was too aggressive during a press conference and grabbed the microphone from a White House staffer or an intern.
Now, that I do remember. Yeah, that I remember. Yeah. Sam Donaldson used to do similar stuff when he covered the White House. Yeah. I mean, I expect my reporters to be aggressive. Civil, but aggressive, and ask tough questions.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think that's it. You do the last thing you want is the government or an administration, either Republican or Democrat, picking and choosing who can cover it and trying to purge the White House of non-compliant media.
You've got, and I'm looking at a piece that was quoted by the Daily Caller, an unnamed Biden official. As we neared a final decision, we informed the White House Correspondents Association and got the feedback, of which we made important updates, like accommodating some freelancers and journalists who do not reside in D.C., and they, you know, named a couple of them. But this is your daily beat, correct?
I've expanded a little bit in recent years. But, this used to be all I did pretty much was the White House.
Well, I know the last time I was in the White House was with Obama, and that will be the last one, and probably ever. But then I had to do a temporary pass. I didn't have the hard pass, which is understandable. Okay. But I certainly understand you guys that's primarily your duty and your job. What we're also getting in some of these statements from the White House are, if you're a legitimate news organization. Well, my God, look at how the New York Times has reported stuff and to go back and retract it. The gray old lady is gray, dead, and buried at this point.
Well, yeah, that's very true. I mean, if you look at all the news outlets that have done the sort of conspiracy theory coverage on the Russia collusion and so forth, I mean, that was something that was, there was a major takedown of the Russia coverage and Columbia Journalism Review, which is not a conservative publication, which really dissected that. I mean, you could if you put it in government's hands as to what is and is not a quote unquote legitimate news organization, that in and of itself is pretty dangerous.
Well, I mean, to the extent bloggers, that's a whole new category now, that are they journalists or not? And yet And now, of course, if it's a transgender blogger that's going to be doing a favorable piece on what Biden is doing, they're going to get access. Maybe not a hard pass, no pun intended, but your thoughts.
Well, there's a point to be made about the White House has brought in, social media influencers that are sort of part of the campaign, the Biden reelection campaign, into the White House. And I think there's something to be considered there that you're, there's increased access for social media influencers that are going to be on the president's side, or while they are at the same time restricting access to media that they consider non-compliant.
And that's the key, non-compliant. I recall a case in Houston a few decades ago when there were people coming out of the woodwork claiming to be with the press and so forth, even literally wearing hats that had the word press taped to the top, as if they, because there was a nude wedding taking place and everyone had a press pass, got to go in and watch it. So I don't know where are we going to see this end, or what is going to happen with Fred Lucas and your access to the White House press briefing going forward.
I think I and other news outlets will be appealing this and also looking in the other avenues as to how we're going to try to work on this. But I think there's a decent chance it'll be changed.
You clearly believe that this does jeopardize Americans' knowledge of freedom of press.
Well, I do. I mean, it's not about like one news outlet or one reporter. It's about, you know, whether the White House can make the decision as to who gets to cover them and who doesn't. And this is a taxpayer, this is the government, and, you know, the press is supposed to be the watchdogs, not the lapdogs.
That's a good point. Fred Lucas, chief news correspondent with the Daily Signal, so far right now not allowed to cover White House press conferences. Fred, thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. We'll do it again. Again, Fred has also written the book Myth of Voter Suppression, The Left's Assault on Clean Elections. Coming up, I've told you before how many children are being trafficked across and into this nation. How does Biden sleep at night? That story coming up. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. Allen, OutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers, someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers, someone who's there.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I thought I was going to help place children in loving homes. Instead, I discovered that children are being trafficked through a sophisticated network that begins with recruiting in home country, smuggling to the U.S. border, and ends when ORR delivers a child to a sponsor. Some sponsors are criminals and traffickers and members of transnational criminal organizations. Some sponsors view children as commodities and assets to be used for earning income. This is why we are witnessing an explosion of labor trafficking. Now, whether it's intentional or not, it could be argued that the United States government has become the middleman in a large-scale, multi-billion dollar child trafficking operation that is run by bad actors seeking to profit off of the lives of children.
That's the kind of thing that should keep you awake at night. And especially if you are a member of the White House and you're allowing these kids to be brought in and not properly identified, located, so we can find them later and make sure they're being taken care of properly. That was a witness testifying, referenced how Joe Biden's Department of Health and Human Services is deliberately ignoring trafficking of unaccompanied alien children. She had volunteered, as she said, thinking I was going to be able to go help these kids. She did it during the Biden administration. She knew a lot of them were coming across. She didn't offer to come forward during the Trump administration. I'm not knocking that point. I'm just saying she could see the numbers were so massive this time. She, in her heart, wanted to do something to help these kids. At last report, and these numbers, they're all over the board. But at last report, there have been something like 260 plus thousand children coming across the border. Now, not all of them are unaccompanied, but many are. Some are brought by an adult who may claim to be an uncle, a brother, sister, maybe even a mom, and the child does not belong to them. And we don't know because nobody's bothering to do DNA testing to find out for sure if there's any linkage. And even then, some are saying, well, it's my niece and I'm taking her to her uncle, to her father in Detroit or something. That's my plan. If you're going to cross the border illegally with a child, and you have intentions of getting paid for bringing that child into the country, it's not an altruistic effort. There's not a concern for the child. It's how much money are you going to get, and you're going to tell whatever lie you need to convince Border Patrol and Homeland Security this child will be safe, be taken care of, fed, nourished, have a much better life in the USA, where everybody wants to go. Although this country is racially systemically racist and, hates brown people and yellow people, this is where this child wants to be and would be better off. Now, we've told you before, there are also numerous reports of cartel members kidnapping children from their families and then taking them to the border and being paid to bring them across by someone at this side who wants that child. Maybe just to work in a factory at all hours of night with dangerous equipment and chemicals, but more likely to be put into a sex den, used, abused, and you don't even want to begin to think of what that child's going to go through until they're either used up, discarded like trash, killed, or maybe get a chance to escape and tell their story. And, of course, this movie that's been out right now that's been pushing this whole theory, what you're getting from the left is complaints like, oh, it's Hollywood makeup and so forth. It's fictional. These are legitimate cases that happen. Even HHS admits this. Please listen here. I told you the numbers of how many have come across children in general. That's a confusing and large and growing number. And those, quote, unaccompanied, that they either just show up, a group of two or three children, maybe ages 8 to 9 at the most, unaccompanied. Since Biden took office, the House Homeland Security officials admit that they've lost contact with at least 85,000 of these children after they released them into the U.S. interior. They were apparently turned over to adult sponsors. Many of them were not biological parents. HHS Secretary Becerra, former domestic policy advisor Susan Rice, have ignored warnings repeatedly that these children are ending up in a widespread labor trafficking pipeline, as well as sex trafficking, general abuse at their sponsors. Biden has basically tripled the inflow of these kids and therefore tripled child migrant labor trafficking. If that's all that's going to happen to them, they're going to work late hours, get little or no money and little or no food or comfort. But more than likely, they're going to either, while they're doing that, also are later and are primarily going to be thrown into sex dens. 300,000 is one of the highest numbers I've seen, that in his first 2 years, 300,000 of these children unaccompanied arriving at the border, then released into the U.S. interior with so-called adult sponsors, but HHS admitting we can't find 85,000 of them. We're going to spend more time on this in the next hour, and I encourage you to listen. It's hard to hear, but it's a story that it just can't be ignored. I mean, you don't know what's happening in the house next door to you. They might seem to be the perfect all-American family, and there could be abuse and so forth happening inside that house. Maybe it gets, at some point, publicized and draws attention. Everyone said, well, I thought they were the perfect family. In this case, these kids, where they're being sent and who's harboring them and where they are, maybe there's no one nearby that even suspects, or if they suspect, they say nothing for fear of themselves, not the child, obviously, being hurt. I would encourage you to keep these children in your prayer on a constant basis. Those of you who have kids or raise kids, you know sometimes you can lose your temper and maybe you get a little too tough in whatever punishment you decide. I hope you're not beating them. I mean, truly beating. Now, when I was younger, I mean, Dad would take a belt to my butt. I mean, a belt. Not using the buckle and striking me across the face, but that strap, and I'd have little red blue marks there across the lower cheeks for a couple of days. Even I wore two pairs of jeans before I got the spanking. But that was not considered abuse, and he was simply doing what had been done to him. And unfortunately, I kind of raised my kid. I never used a belt on, but I spanked them, one of them in particular, more often than I should, looking back. And my girls have turned out to be better parents than I was. But all of us are concerned about the health and welfare of our children. If you really love them, you are. You don't have to love or even know these kids, but you should have concern for them. All right, the cocaine story in the White House continues to boil and bubble like all kinds of trouble. And, of course, it's not just the fact that the cocaine was there and who brought it. I mean, it's still a big issue, but what it says about the security inside the White House. I mean, now they're going to limit, as you were hearing from our guest earlier, Fred Lucas, to get into a White House press briefing, you're going to have a hard pass, and he's not going to have one. His at the end of this month, But apparently you could come in a tour group, as supposedly we're being told that this cocaine came in through a bunch of people traveling through an area, and there are no cameras watching them, no Secret Service watching them, no dogs sniffing for any drugs or contraband after they've gone through a magnetometer to make sure they're not armed in some way. Does any of that make sense? Hell no, it makes no sense. And to that point, this is in the Biden administration. If this event had happened inside the Trump administration, well, Don Trump Jr. had an answer on that question.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, County Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I have a feeling that if I was within 1,000 miles of D.C. when cocaine was found, it would be a real problem. But I'd also be in trouble for smoking crack on video. I'd be in trouble for taking $1 billion from China. I'd be in trouble for taking no-show jobs in Ukraine, influencing our foreign policy. Like, these would be questions, rightfully so, by the way, that would be asked by our media. The silence is deafening. I had half of Twitter trying to blame me for the cocaine in the White House. I haven't been there in 3 years. I'm trying to figure that one out. But, you know, I guess I'm high energy. Not really cocaine-fueled like Hunter, but, you know. They blame me, but the world's most famous crackhead was there. They can't find anything. In the most monitored, most secure facility in the world. I mean, really, come on. Yeah, oh yeah, no. It's like, if you believe that, I got a lot I can tell you.
Yeah, I think he's correct. Don Trump Jr. He said, if I'd been with 1,000 miles of the White House, and my dad was still in the White House, I would have been blamed for maybe bringing that in. Or even my dad, possibly. But you don't see any concern out of the state-controlled media to say, okay, the Secret Service said, we have no video. We don't know how it got there. We just, it's a closed deal. I remind you again and again and again, when they first spotted it, they did not know what it was. And somebody made a big mistake. They decided we need to call a hazmat team in. So D.C. Fire Department hazmat team shows up to investigate what this is. Radio traffic going back and forth, evacuation part of the White House. Became a big story. It could have been a bioweapon of some type. But then when the radio transmission says, we've identified that it's cocaine, a lot of folks heard it. You can't cover it up at that point. So we're going to have to investigate how it got there. But we're not really going to investigate. Come on. Now, these Biden laptop pictures of Hunter Biden smoking cocaine in a daze, in the bathtub with the prostitutes, whatever, does not say that he took it inside. Let's make that clear. But if you're carrying out any investigation, you're going to question anyone that might be a potential suspect. I'm not saying there aren't some other cokeheads inside the Biden White House, but this one we know because he's identified himself as being in the past. Did they ask Hunter Biden, did you bring this in? Which is the other part that when it got asked during a White House press briefing, the Carré Jean-Pierre said, was, how dare you accuse the Biden family of doing this? No, no, no. Let me rephrase that to you, Karine Jean-Pierre. How dare you stand there and act like you're absolutely appalled at the question when the laptop shows that the president's son has done it not once, but numerous times? These folks are into such a cover-up mode. Now we're being told the White House again, apparently the Biden is going to run the campaign basically from the bedroom, it appears. They are worried about landmines everywhere they step, and they should be. And, of course, the progressive left says this is all a witch hunt against Biden, as if there weren't one against Trump. And I'm not trying to get a tit-for-tat type thing, but the bottom line is there's more evidence here than anything they're making a claim against Trump. As always, a thank you for listening. Catch the second hour. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.